This is a re-recording of the message from Sunday, the 19th of August. Let me begin by praying. Father, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you for your word that has power to change our lives. So we come into your presence now, Father, and ask in the name of Jesus that we would receive your word and walk in obedience to it. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me begin by reading from Isaiah chapter 40 and from verse 3. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Last week, Stan spoke to us on Ecclesiastes 3, which tells us about the various seasons of life. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. The passage we've just read in Isaiah 40 takes me back 26 years to the season when God first called me to preach the gospel. It was the summer of 1992 and I'd been a Christian for maybe 2 or 3 years. I was young, enthusiastic and full of zeal for God. And I was attending the Birmingham Bible Institute summer school on revival. Have you ever noticed in life how times of great blessing and opportunity can be intermingled with challenges and even confusion? When I arrived at Birmingham Bible Institute in the summer of 92, I arrived early and alone. I approached the building and knocked on the door. And this really geeky guy came to the door with his shirt tail half hanging out, unshaven. And I explained to him why I was there. He looked at me almost in disgust and tutted. Oh well, you better come in then. Maybe I was interrupting him, but he made me feel very unwelcome. And I was really quite annoyed about it. Sometimes the blessing of God are just around the corner, but what stands in the way are the obstacles of our own offence and unforgiveness. Maybe today God wants you to let go of offence and forgive more quickly. Sometimes we're more interested in holding on to offence and unforgiveness than we are in getting right with God and meeting with God. But it doesn't have to be that way. For me, the week at Birmingham Bible Institute was a life-changing week. We explored revival in the Bible and in the history of the church. So many things could be said about what revival is. And this coming Saturday, 25th of August, Liberty Church men are meeting at Dixon House Centre to explore this whole area further. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what Kenny Borthwick is going to share with us. One outstanding feature of revival is an overwhelming awareness and sense of the presence and power of God. The atmosphere becomes charged with divine electricity. Have you ever experienced a heightened sense of the presence of God? Time seems to stand still, and our attention is captivated by an overwhelming sense of the glory and presence of God. In 1992, I had a little taste of that. I was confronted by the presence and the glory of God, and my whole being seemed to vibrate with his presence. Halfway through the week, the group spent the day doing outreach and street evangelism, and I preached in the open air for the first time. And the text that I strongly felt that God gave me to preach on was this passage in Isaiah chapter 40. And as I spoke out God's word, a boldness came upon me, and I lifted up my voice. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Let me ask you, what is your prayer for the church and for our nation? My prayer is that very soon we will again see days of revival, days when the Holy Spirit is poured out in power and many come to faith in Christ. In the late 1940s and early 50s, there was an incredible move of God on the Isle of Lewis. Let me share with you two brief stories from the Lewis Revival. On one occasion, a spontaneous congregation gathered in the car park outside the church in Barvis on the Isle of Lewis. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and everywhere was in darkness, in the middle of the night, except for lights on in every single house in the village. And spontaneously drawn by the power and presence of God, people began to gather in the church car park, ready, seeking God to worship him and praise his name. They had been drawn by a supernatural presence and power. And so they knocked on the door of the minister in the manse. They got him up out of his bed, and he got into the pulpit and preached the gospel. And songs of worship and praise rose from that place, a spontaneous gathering of people drawn together by an invisible supernatural power, the very power and presence of God. The second story is about a minibus of maybe 8 or 9 young people on their way to a dance on the Isle of Lewis. And as they drove along the road, the Holy Spirit came on that bus and those young people in the bus. And each and every one of them went out in the Holy Spirit, including the bus driver. And the minibus slew into the side of the road. and they were out in the Holy Spirit for a time. And when they woke up, each and every one of them was saved. Each and every one of them was a believer in Jesus. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And each one of those young people went on to either be missionaries, taking the gospel to the nations, or they went on to be church ministers who preached the gospel. Sometimes we can lose sight of that heavenly perspective that we should have in Christ. And in Isaiah 40, God gives us his perspective on things. So I want to share with you 3 points from this passage. The first point is this: life is short. The Bible speaks in Psalm 90 about 70 years, or 70 years if we're strong enough. So that means we can expect 70 or maybe 80 years on average in this life. And if we live into our 90s or reach 100, then we're very much blessed with long life. Compared with eternity, 70, 80 or 90 years is a tiny, tiny speck of time. It's not long at all. We can all procrastinate sometimes. We can put things off as if we have all the time in the world. And very easily we slip into the illusion that life will last forever. We'll never have to face our own mortality. We'll never get old. There's always tomorrow. Life will carry on as it always has. But the truth of God's word says otherwise. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. These words from Isaiah give us a reality check. Life is a beautiful gift from God. He has given us our very breath. And each day that we have with friends and family is a precious gift that we should never take for granted. Because our lives are like the flowers of the field, here today and gone tomorrow. James in his letter says this: what is your life? It is a vapour which appears for a little while and then vanishes. And in Psalm 39 we read this: show me, O Lord, my life's end, and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. If life is so short and we don't have much time, then it's all the more important that we understand what really matters. The Westminster Shorter Catechism sums up what ultimately matters in this life. And it says this: man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God's highest purposes for you and I are that we glorify him and enjoy him forever. He wants to reveal his glory on the earth through you and I as the church, and he doesn't have a plan B. All of our own glory is like the flowers of the field that is here today and gone tomorrow. But there is something which does stand forever and remain. The glory of the Lord will be revealed on the earth. So the first point from this passage is that life is short. We're not here for long before we stand before God. My second point is this: the gospel brings to us a word which stands and remains forever. from the days of the early disciples and the early church. A message of salvation has rang out down through the centuries, and millions of souls all over the world have heard and believed in the gospel. Life is short on this earth, and life is fragile. Are you living for what really matters? A life which glorifies God has a heavenly perspective, but it's also a life rooted in the everyday, earthy world in which we live. It's about heavenly realities touching our day-by-day lives. Eternal life is both about the quality and length of life we have been given through Christ. Through Christ we have abundant life, and we also have a life which is destined for eternity in heaven. The power of the gospel touches every area of our lives, but it's not a complicated message. The gospel is Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Jesus died for your sins and mine. He was hung on a cruel cross. He took the punishment for your sins and mine. He willingly took it all for you and for me. And this is the extent of the love of God for you and I. This is the value of each one of our lives, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And there is no other hope and no other gospel which can save, only Jesus Christ. And this is the word which stands forever. Life is short, but in the gospel we have a word from God which stands forever. And finally, our calling is to proclaim the gospel of salvation to a lost world. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. So the question then becomes, how do we proclaim the gospel to a lost world? What does that look like in a culture in which many have turned away from belief in God? How can we communicate this word which stands forever? Because there are now elements within our culture which are clearly anti-Christian. But in many ways this is no different to the times of the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys. He faced opposition. Not everyone believed, but he still fearlessly proclaimed the gospel. And he said this, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." So in closing, I want to share with you three thoughts to help you be a witness for Christ. Firstly, show Christ to others through your life and actions. In Liberty Church, people are involved in all sorts of different ministries that offer practical help to people in need. The food bank, CAP, Choices, pregnancy counselling, even serving tea and coffees or playing some part on the Rota each Sunday, serving the Treasure Zone or Blast, and many other different ways. And these ministries demonstrate the love of Christ through simple action. We live in a world that desperately needs to see God's love in action. And if you stand up and say you're a believer in Jesus, people will watch to see how you live and how you behave. Does your life speak of the hope and love of Jesus Christ? Because integrity involves our lives lining up with what we say we believe. So get involved in serving God and serving other people. Show the love of Christ by your attitude, actions, and the way you relate to other people. Secondly, know the Word of God. When church surrenders to the values, morals, and lifestyle of the world around us, we compromise the gospel, and Christians begin to live in the same way as everyone else. It becomes very difficult to see any difference between someone who says they believe in Jesus and someone who doesn't. The J.B. Phillips version of Romans 12:2 says this: "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mould, but let God remould your minds from within." Is your mind being moulded and renewed by the Word of God? When is the last time you sat down and spent time alone with God, reading His Word and praying? Or is the world around you squeezing you into its mould? It's that important. And thirdly, be ready to speak to others about Jesus. A few weeks ago, Matthew and I went to Stirling to look for student accommodation. As we walked through the shopping centre, I saw one of my favourite shops, Thornton's Chocolates. I bought one large box of special toffee and one large box of milk chocolate covered fudge. The guy behind the till asked me if these were gifts. I said yes, and he asked me who they were for. I told him they were for my dad, who was seriously ill with lung cancer. Immediately he replied that he also was diagnosed with cancer, and his diagnosis was 2 years ago, and since then he had undergone chemotherapy and radiotherapy. In sharing something of my dad's struggle, we made an instant connection, and standing in the middle of Thornton's, Matthew, myself, and the guy serving in Thornton's behind the till paused for a moment, and I asked to pray for him. We prayed, and a seed was sown into his heart and mind, a seed of the Word of the Gospel, which stands firm forever. I don't always get this right, and sometimes I've chickened out of sharing Jesus with others in the past. But we do need to be ready to speak up and speak out. We need to pray for the boldness and courage to speak of Jesus, because the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Life is short. The gospel brings to us the Word of God, which stands forever. And we need to be ready to share that good news with others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gospel which saves, that through faith in Jesus, we have abundant life in him now, and eternal life which lasts forever. Help us to share that gospel message with those we meet day by day who desperately need to hear of the mercy and love of our Saviour Jesus. Amen.